We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Up next, the latest on the Missouri Tigers from KCSN, which features multiple shows each week with Border War with former Missouri forward Jarrett Sutton and former Jayhawks guard Jeff Hawkins, and Mizzou That's Who with insider Gabe DeArmond, Maggie Johnson, and Tucker Franklin. The latest news, the top stories, and an insider perspective to keep you in the know. Make sure to follow us on your new home for Missouri Tigers podcast, KCSN. And now, the latest on Mizzou Athletics.
Welcome into today's episode of Mizzou That's Who, your podcast for Missouri Athletics here on KC Sports Network. I'm Tucker Franklin, joined by Gabe DeArmond and Maggie Johnson. Got a lot to talk about in Missouri Athletics, as we usually do this time of year. Basketball's in full swing. Got some transfer portal news as well, some big transfer portal news we'll hit at the end of the show, but we're going to start off with basketball. Gabe, we didn't get to hear from you last week. How are you doing? How are things in your world?
I'm good. It no longer sounds like my home office is getting hit by a bolt of lightning and thunder every 12 seconds. So yeah. I have full use of my house back and can join you on our lovely podcast.
Wonderful. Yeah, Maggie and I we went like 50 minutes. We didn't need to.
We held it down.
We did. Maggie, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great after watching the Chiefs make the championship round this weekend at the same time as the Mizzou game. So we'll get into that a little bit. But yeah, I'm doing well. Another week.
They really got to stop doing that. They got to stop scheduling basketball and football and Chiefs games at the same time.
I want it clear that I did make multiple requests to move the tip-off time of the Alabama basketball game. Shows you the amount of power I have. I can't get the basketball time moved. I'm getting Wally pipped on this podcast. It's about time to hang it up, guys. I'm about done.
Gabe, don't tell your listeners that you or your readers that you don't have that much pull.
Well, I feel like they know. They tell me every day.
Wait, somebody called you something really funny on one of the comments. I was like right. Reading it. I don't remember what it was, but when I find it, I'll send it to you because it was so
awesome.
Funny. It wasn't like you responded to it. It wasn't okay. Like they didn't like curse you out. It was just like a funny comment.
It's good. Well, since last time we talked, Missouri's played two basketball games. They went 1-1. They did really what our expectations. Oh, well, okay. So when we started this last week, Maggie, we said 1-1 is like phenomenal, like great week. 1-1 week beating Arkansas, one of Arkansas or Alabama. And they did that. They beat Arkansas at home. Good ending. Figured out how to win. But before that game, I believe it was before that game. Yeah, it was. Kobe Brown was named to the Oscar Robertson Trophy Watch. We didn't talk about that. That was, I think, happened either after we started recording or something around there in that dead period where after our episode. But shout out to Kobe. We'll have more to talk about with Kobe here later. But let's talk about that Arkansas game. Let's start with that one. Let's start with the dub. Gabe, first thoughts from that game. I know that Mizzou Arena was rocked.
It was. I think Mizzou Arena won that game. There, I know that every fan base thinks everybody has home court advantage except them. you can't say Missouri didn't have home court advantage after that game. I mean, look, it's and I'm not saying like Arkansas still could have won the game. Absolutely still. Missouri got a lot of calls in the last 5 minutes that could have gone either way. But that is what playing at home is in college basketball. It's why more than any other sport, playing at home matters so much. Now, there are certain buildings that might be located in Lawrence, Kansas, where it seems to matter a little more than certain other buildings. But it matters almost everywhere. And that's why it matters to have 13 to 15,000 in there as opposed to 6 to 8,000. Yeah. Because 6 to 8,000 don't impress, like they don't scare refs, right? I mean, I made the joke that when they did the review for the Des Moines Hodge drawn charge, which I still don't really know if that was the right call, wrong call. I don't know. But I joked, I said, I think they came out and said that they couldn't review it because the referee, if he had come out and reversed that call, his voice was going to break like Carl Cheffer's voice broke in Arrowhead against the Raiders this year. Just like, the court is reversed. Arkansas is going to shoot free throws. And then he would have had to run away. He would have had to leave the building immediately. So
yeah. I'm not sure.
But also, good effort. Like, Missouri deserves credit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we started slow. Arkansas went out, you know, they played better than us. We kind of, you know, we caught up. But we were down 10 points with only a few minutes left. I think like 4 minutes left. And yes, there were some weird calls in that time, that charge, obviously. And for those listening, which I'm sure everybody listening probably watched that game, the SEC did come out and say that that should have been a reviewable call. The refs went over to the cameras and they told them that they couldn't
review. For a long time, though.
I know, and that's what was kind of confusing. But the SEC came out and said that they couldn't review it, so I don't know what was going on. Like you said, I'm not sure if it would have overturned it anyways. It did look like his heels were raised a lot of the point of that video. So I'm not 100% sure, but you have to also look at, yes, there were some bad calls for them. Was the tackle a bad call? Maybe.
Right. So and Missouri still made shots to come back. Like none of that is saying that Missouri does not deserve credit for winning that game.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, you look at the score, it was 79-76. Okay. That's close. But Anthony Black made two really good shots to even make it to that close of a game. It's not like it was sitting at a 3-point game or a 2-point game this whole time. It was like a 7-point lead. Then he like threw up a three and, you know, we let him go down and take the two. It wasn't maybe as close as the scoreboard would say there, but man, there was a lot of fouls and there was zero flow to that game. I mean, the fouls were 33 to Arkansas, 23 to Mizzou.
And the biggest credit to Missouri, they figured that out and said, look, they're going to call a foul every time anything happens, so go attack the basket. But I thought it was the exact opposite of the game in Arkansas, where you got to halftime and the team that was ahead kind of felt like, I think we should be ahead by a lot more. You know, Arkansas didn't bury Missouri this time. Now, Arkansas did come back in the second half and have that lead still. But, you know, playing at home, having veteran guys, and that was huge to come back and win that game because it's a whole different feeling than if they lose that game and we're talking about four straight losses right now. It's a whole different deal.
And we did it without Noah Carter, too. So we were really at you know, down low, we were really shorthanded. So, you know, credit the guys that kind of stepped in. The bench played great, in my personal opinion. Mosley had 8. It was kind of his first game back. East had 12. Golston had 16. We got a little bit, got to see Diarra a little bit.
So. Yeah, was that the game where Diarra and Shaw had like 3-pointers and that was all of Missouri's points for the first like 8 minutes?
Yes. We 9 minutes in, we had 5 points. 9 minutes in. It was bad. I was looking at him like, there's no way. We're so done. I mean, I'm a doomsdayer a lot of the time. So, but I mean, I'm going to be that fan that Gabe probably hates. So I'm like, of course this happens to Mizzou when Arkansas's in town.
Well, Mizzou did finish the final 5 minutes of the game at 22 points. That's a lot of points in 5 minutes.
They knocked down their free throws, though. They got fouled, and they knocked down their free throws. which was a big thing. I know Arkansas fans were complaining about that. They're like, they took 16 attempts. Well, six of those were on purpose. Six of those were they were purposely fouled. So
yeah, that does go into it a lot. Good for them to up that down. Mizzou converted 44.9% of their field goal percentage too. We talked about last week, Missouri's shooting was just like ice cold. Like they were so cold, especially from beyond the 3-point arc. They also talking about the free throw line, 30 of 40. That's gonna really help win games when you're knocking down free throws.
I think it's also one of those games, kind of like Maggie said, where even fans of the winning team go, "Well, that was terrible."
Yeah,
I mean, 8 o'clock games should not be allowed to last 2 hours and 40 minutes. First of all. Somebody on our board had the best suggestion. They said every ref at the beginning of the game should be allotted 10 fouls. And once that individual ref has called 10 fouls, he can't call anymore, right? It's like, so you're just done.
Yeah.
And if all three of them have used their 10 fouls, like, then you can just go punch guys. And whatever, no, you can tackle guys, whatever, throw them out of bounds, whatever you have to do, it doesn't matter because it can't be. But in, at halftime of that game, I actually thought most of the fouls, like, I thought they were fouls. Those teams were playing physical and beating the hell out of each other. But always when you see that in the first half, then the second half is just totally different. The refs are just like, yeah, we're not going to call this for a while. Yeah. But then they just kept doing it, you know? And I think there was one point in that second half where the fouls were like 7-2 against Missouri. And I even tweeted, I said, just wait. And it was even at 8. I mean, it was in like 3 minutes, they were evened out. And so I think even Missouri fans after that game were saying, even when it helps us, it's just awful to watch.
I don't know if there's a sport that officiating has as big of an impact in as basketball does, just in general. I was trying to think about that when you guys were talking about it. And, you know, there's some calls in football that can change a thing. But in college football, pass interference not being a spot foul, I think, does help with that. But I think basketball, specifically, one of those games where officiating is big, as we see with the Kansas Jayhawks a lot. They benefit from that at Allen Fieldhouse. So Missouri does get this win. In the grand scheme of things, I think in big picture, Gabe, you talked about this kind of off the top. It was huge with Alabama coming to town on Saturday. That if they lose against, you know, number 25 Arkansas at that point, they're staring at a 4-game losing streak. You're staring down the barrel of a streak that's going to be tough to come back from. And they get the win and they kind of stop their losing momentum just before Arkansas comes into town. And, you know, they do lose to Arkansas, or they lose to Alabama, excuse me. But why do they put both of these A teams back to back? It's just jumbling my brain up with both of these A teams. But they get the win over Arkansas. Alabama comes to town, which hung in there with them a lot of that game, but just ultimately. Just couldn't finish it off.
They lost the Alabama game with a minute 15 left against Arkansas when Kobe turned his ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, Kobe said on Friday, "I feel fine. I'll be good." I mean, every athlete in the history of ever has said that, right? So 15 minutes or so before tip off, Missouri tweeted out, "Kobe Brown's not playing." And he just said, "Yeah, this is real unlikely at this point."
Yeah, it was almost impossible. I mean, it was a rough day for the starters. Not one starter on Mizzou's team made more than one field goal. Not one. Terrible. Yeah. I mean, and you can't, when you have a player like Kobe out, you have, Des Moines has to step up in that situation. I know he's been ice cold, but something has to, and I will say, Mosley had 19 points off the bench.
Yeah.
Looked good.
Yeah,
you love having that addition, but it's too big of a hill for one bench player to climb on his own.
And I just thought the story of that game, look, I've been saying it for 2 weeks. Dennis Gates has been saying it for 2 weeks. I think Alabama's the best team in the country.
Yeah,
and they played like they didn't play their best game, but they played pretty well. And every time Missouri had anything where you go, oh, hey, they could maybe make it interesting. Alabama's like, no, we're just going to go score six straight. You're not going to make it interesting. I mean, I think the roster Nate Oates has is what Dennis Gates wants here. I mean, it might take 2-3 years, but I think that's kind of the vision of what he wants.
It's a good prototype to go after.
I would take that roster.
Yeah. And looking at just the percentages – 32.9% field goal percentage.
Not good.
That's not going to get it done. This is bad. 3 of 28 from beyond the arc. They only made 3 3-pointers. That is a if you're counting doing the math at home, that's a 10.7%. So that's not gonna win you any basketball games.
I mean, I asked this I think on the radio this morning. What do you think is tougher, to go 3 for 28 or to go like 23 for 28? Because, I mean, 3 for 28, man, eventually, like, you're just going to get a bounce or something, right? That's hard to do.
A bank or an accidental bank shot.
And I didn't think they were terrible shots. Like, I wasn't watching going, what are they doing? They were just missing shots they've made a lot of this year. And sometimes that happens.
Well, and that's the issue right now with, I think, Damoy Hodge is he's taking good shots. He's taking all the shots he made in the Kentucky game. He's taking all the shots he made in the Illinois game. It's just right now, he's just got to get out of it. And I'm sure he's in his head because he's a baller. Like, we've watched him ball out numerous times. He's still, I think, one of the top 20, I think, shooting guards in the country. He's just got to get out of his head.
Well, and it comes at the same time that Nick Honor has fallen off from three. Noah Carter has barely made a three in the last few games. Sean East doesn't even really take threes anymore, right? It doesn't seem like. So it's kind of everybody at once the issue with the shooting the last 4 games.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
And that's less than ideal. That's the groundbreaking analysis you turned into, Mizzou. That's who the podcast here for is. It's less than ideal when your good players aren't making shots. And to be fair, I mean, they played against a good Alabama team. I think that Alabama team, I haven't looked at the poll yet. They got to be up to like two.
I would assume they'll be second behind Purdue.
Yeah, I saw Purdue was one. I didn't look further than that. But Alabama too makes complete sense because I think they're legit. And I remember seeing the halftime score. Obviously, this was going on as the Chiefs were playing. I do have a duty to cover the Chiefs. So I was partially paying attention to this game. And I saw 38-28 at half, down 10 without Kobe Brown. And I thought, hey, you know what? Not too bad. And then I saw the final score. And I said, oh.
Yeah, but it was also 28-28. And then Alabama scored the last 10 points of the first half, and it kind of felt like a – and Gates said after the game, he said that's what Alabama's done all year. They put a run together at the end of the first half and then another one at the beginning of the second half, and all of a sudden they were up 20. And there were a couple times Missouri got back into like 12 or 13, but it just never felt like they could make enough shots to make a real run. I mean, guys, they were 7 of 16 on layups. They missed 3 on one possession.
I feel like that's been routine of late as well. Just I don't know what it is. I know some of them are, you know, they're contested, but some of them, well,
some of them just, and, yeah, and like, they're just missing. You know, also though, like I got some stuff after the game. Well, they have to do layup lines in practice. No, they know how to shoot layups, guys. Sometimes they just bounce out. I mean, sometimes the rim's wrong. Sometimes you lose, you know, things happen. It was just like, I sum Alabama up, and this makes for an excellent podcast. We could have done it in 4 seconds. It was a bad day to have a bad day. You know, I mean, that's what happened, really.
A bad day not to have Kobe.
Right. That too.
Yeah. As I led our post-game show with, bad day for ankles in the Show Me State.
No so doubt. It
certainly was. Ankles are on the mind. And Mizzou now shifts their focus to Ole Miss, a game that they're going to play on Tuesday. So a little different than what they've been playing recently. The Wednesday, Saturday, going Tuesday, Saturday with Iowa State. They get that's a part of the SEC Big 12 challenge, right? Okay. And just about Ole Miss, they have a 9-10 record, 1-6 in the SEC. This is a game.
You best win that.
You better win this game, because Iowa State, it looks pretty good too. Like Iowa State looks like a pretty good ball club. So. Looking ahead to that, I mean, it's good that they are getting an extra day for Iowa State.
And they're at home.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Which is kind of wild. If you go look at the SEC Big 12 matchups, a lot of them are ranked Big 12 teams against unranked SEC teams, but the unranked SEC teams are mainly at home. So it's kind of, it's just like an interesting look.
It could be a big day for the SEC too, because I've seen some things that legitimately – people think the entire Big 12 could make the tournament this year. I mean, it is top to bottom. It's the best league in the country.
They're good, yeah.
I know it will offend people that listen to this, but it's true. So, you know, if the SEC, by being at home, can win a few of those games, I think that could kind of cement the SEC as at least the second best conference in the country.
Well, and the SEC holds its own, again, in these matchups. And obviously, a lot of the time, the matchups are completely random. Like, I mean, Kansas and Kentucky get each other a lot. But the past 2 years, the SEC has won this contest. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do it again. But I'd like to see K-State against somebody better than Florida. But, you know,
I don't know if anyone really predicted K-State to be as good as they were this year. Yeah. I don't know. I certainly did. Looking at the roster that they had, it is tough. I mean, this is something that I've thought about, to look at what Kansas State has done with Jerome Tang and with Dennis Gates. I always thought that those two coaches were going to be compared to each other. Unfairly so, maybe, but I did think that they were going to be compared to each other once they took the positions at the same time. And, you know, I do think that it's unfair because Jerome Tang has a little bit more experience at the Power 5 level, right, with an assistant, Scott Drew. He was at Baylor or in Texas, around the Texas area, for like 2 decades. So he's had an experience at the Power 5 level, but I do think that looking at that program, what they've been doing, I think is going to get unfairly compared to what Missouri's doing.
I think those two will get compared in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I think more, though, that Gates will be compared to Matt McMahon and to Lamont Paris at South Carolina and to Todd Golden at Florida by – you know, because those were the guys he was hired at, and not really as much Mike White at Georgia, because that was kind of a different one. But there's four guys that have their first Power 5 jobs in the SEC this year, I think four. And those are the guys that I think, especially Todd Golden, because Todd Golden was in the running for this job and then took Florida. And Gates was, South Carolina wanted Gates and Missouri hired him first. Mm. And then Matt McMahon was kind of mentioned for all of them. He was actually of the guys that had a shot. He was the one that I said, that's not the route I would go if I was Missouri personally. Now, because I said that, he'll end up being the best of the four of them.
Who knows how long Tang is at K-State though, because.
I mean, if Texas isn't seriously looking at him, I think you got to do some real soul searching in Texas, right? Like, I think you've got to.
Yep.
The people in charge aren't doing their jobs right if Texas isn't snooping around.
They're not hiring Dennis Gates anymore. That's done.
people were talking about that. I never saw that.
A couple people were.
I must not follow them. Thank goodness. So looking at the SEC Big 12 Challenge, Alabama at Oklahoma, Arkansas at Baylor, Auburn at West Virginia, Florida at Kansas State, Kansas at Kentucky, Texas Tech at LSU, Ole Miss at Oklahoma State, TCU at Mississippi State. TCU, they look legit. Just like in football. Iowa State at Missouri and Texas at Tennessee.
That's probably the best matchup, I would say. Mm-hmm. Even though Kentucky started playing a little bit better at a time that Kansas is struggling a little bit, they're struggling against good teams, so you can't really say too much about it. But I'm interested in a few of those games for sure.
Yeah,
should be some good basketball this week. But let's talk. Let's go talk some football. How about it? I know we've talked about it, if Missouri was going to bring in a quarterback. I think essentially once the Gasparilla Bowl got over, right, I think we brought up the topic of, look, Brady Cook is going to have shoulder surgery. Sam Horn is the only quarterback that is a scholarship quarterback on this roster right now. Are they going to bring somebody else in for spring ball, for competition-wise? And they do. They brought him in. Jake Garcia, former Miami quarterback, highly rated high school prospect. I believe in 2019 was a very highly rated high school prospect. Got beat out by, I can't remember, was it Trevor Van Dyke?
Tyler Van Dyke.
Or TVD was the initials. Got beat out by them in Miami. So I'm curious to what your thoughts are, Gabe, on this addition of Jake Garcia.
Yeah, I have said a number of times since Eli Drinkwitz has been here, this feels like the first time Missouri has a football coaching staff that is acting like an SEC football staff. Hmm. And what I mean by that, in at least in regard to this, is I've seen a lot of Missouri fans say, well, no, we don't need a quarterback. We got Sam Horn. Or we don't need any defensive backs. Innis Rakestraw and KAD are coming back. No, you pile up as many good players as you can, and the ones that win the job, great, and the ones that don't, if they want to leave, they can leave. That's the way it goes. If Sam Horn gets beat out because Jake Garcia was better and Sam Horn wants to transfer, fine. Mm-hmm. You go find another guy to come in and compete with Jake Garcia and with Jabari Johnson down the road. The difference between the really good programs and the Missouris of the world right now, I don't mean to be a dick about it, but Missouri or Iowa State or throw it Minnesota, whatever, just any kind of middle of the road program. Mm-hmm. The difference between the middle of the pack and the top of the pack in those conferences are those other conferences, they have a 4-star pushing a 5-star.
Right.
And they have another 4-star waiting his turn to push that other 4-star. It's not, I think even in 2014, Missouri's first 22 were as good as a lot of teams in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
The second 22 weren't nearly good enough to play with that top tier team. And you have to have that because A, you're going to have injuries. And also, at every position except quarterback, guys don't take every snap. Quarterback and offensive line. But everywhere else, your second-string guy plays. In some cases, mm-hmm. your third-string guy plays. And when that third-string guy is, I don't care, just throw out one of Georgia's backup defensive linemen who I don't know. But when he can come out and play 14 snaps a game and go a million miles an hour because he knows he's only playing 14 snaps a game, well, he's probably beating your offensive guard's ass. And so this is how big boy football programs operate.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it, the whole idea. Well, he's just searching for a backup because he knows that he's got Sam and Bray. No, if he's doing that, he is not equipped to coach in this league. And that's not what he's doing. And that's not what he was doing last year. He just happened to end up with a backup, but his goal was not, hey, let's go find a backup quarterback. When you do that, you take the preferred walk-on from Hutchinson that Missouri took. That's a body, right? That's a depth piece to get through practices and camp. And hey, if he turns out to be the greatest quarterback in the country, awesome. Then you start him. The likelihood is that he won't. Jake Garcia is here because he expects to be Missouri's starting quarterback. So does Brady Cook. So does Sam Horn. At least one of them will not be on this roster 12 months from now. Maybe two.
And look at it this way for a lot of people that may be questioning the decision to get Jake Garcia. Did you guys see what Ole Miss did this year with or this week with quarterbacks? They got Spencer Sanders from Oklahoma State. They already have Jackson Dart, who can't transfer because he came over from USC. And then who was the last one he got? Do you remember?
It was the kid from LSU, Walker Howard.
Yeah, Walker Howard.
And they actually got Walker Howard before they got Sanders. And Sanders went ahead and said, I'll come.
Went there. Because they know that one of those three quarterbacks are going to be pushing each other. I mean, Jackson Dart might have lost his spot. He didn't play terribly this year. I mean, they were fine, as Ole Miss is typically fine. But yeah, that's the type of program that we want to be. We want to be a school, a destination. And we're not going to be a destination if the only people that we have are Hutchison.
And it was also it was what Jaden Daniels last year, right? Like he was going to come to Missouri. That everybody, how close that got depends on who you talk to. But then everybody said, well, why would he go to LSU? He's not going to start there. Well, he did start there.
Yeah.
And he did pretty well, right? But they all think they're going to go win the job. And again, like – people probably think I like have something against Sam Horn, and I don't. I don't have a clue if Sam Horn's a good college quarterback or not, and neither does anybody else because we haven't seen him play yet.
100%. And I think that when I was thinking about a transfer quarterback Mizzou could get, I don't think Jake Garcia never entered my head because I thought, okay, you don't know what you have in Sam Horn, so you have that, right? Go get somebody who's proven, quote unquote, who's played, and you know a little bit about him already. Jake Garcia hasn't played a whole lot, so that's another thing that kind of comes into it as well. Is like you don't really know what you have in Jake Garcia as well. Maybe the coaching staff feels pretty confident in what they have in Jake Garcia, but you'd like to think they're pretty confident in what they have in Sam Horn as well. So I think that kind of surprised me about the move is that they didn't go get a guy like, for lack of a better person, like a Sam Hartman, right? Like they didn't go after somebody who was a little bit older, who could, you know, realistically have some experience and you know what he is. But, or when you already have.
But I mean, maybe they did, right? We don't know. 100%. Maybe they did. But the other thing is they do have a guy who's started games and been decent at this level. Like I know people like to crap on Brady. Like he was a middle of the road, slightly below average SEC quarterback. He can be better. But so your baseline is we have a guy who has at least started games in this league and won six of them, who should be a little bit better and have another year of experience. I think what this says more than anything is they don't know that Sam Horn is the savior of the program. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if they did, then they don't go get a guy a year older than him. That's not saying how could they know that? I don't know. I mean, my message board has insisted that they do. But they can't know. He hasn't played in the game. You know, I mean, every coach will tell you, you can think you know about a quarterback, but you don't really know until you see it on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stars aren't the only thing that you can look at. Like, you have to be able to look at the tangibles before you can say they're great based on the intangibles, I guess.
And top 100 four-star quarterbacks miss all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Jake Garcia's stats from 2022, 68 for 114. That's a 59% completion percentage, 803 yards, five touchdowns, four interceptions. Longest was a 71-yard pass. I believe that clip was going around Twitter, his 71-yard pass that he had. I'm excited for what it can do. I always think more competition is good, right, for the program in general. If he's the right guy, I think somebody asked me this. Like, what do you think about Jake Garcia? I said, I don't care as long as Drake makes the right decision at quarterback. As long as he makes the best, as long as the choice is this guy can help us win games more than another guy can, put him in there. I don't care what his name is, where he came from. That's all I care about.
It's all you should care about, Tucker.
Yes. Literally, if it's Tommy Locke, cool.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever. If Tommy Locke goes and wins nine games, well done, kid.
We're going to Third Street Social. I do think the addition's interesting, and I do think that it was something that Gabe, I believe it was a question from you, where you asked Drinko, like, are you thinking about adding a quarterback for body-wise? And he basically straight up told you no and said that we'll only add a quarterback if we think that he can win, help us win games. And Drink must think that Jay Garcia can help him win games. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and I don't have a clue who will start. No. But look, I don't think Jake Garcia came here to knowing he's not going to start. You know, I mean, he thinks he's at least got a shot.
We didn't know who was going to start last year either, so it's just another the exact same thing. We'll figure it out in August, I guess.
It's going to be me breaking down videos that Mizzou football tweets out, and I'm going to slow them down when Drinkwitz yells, "Here come the ones," and see who walks out in front of the screen. That's how I figured out Brady Cook was starting last year.
Don't be that guy, Tucker.
I know.
Or don't give away your secrets. So
that's true. Oh, crap. gave away the secret formula. No, so I'm interested to see what'll happen. This defense still looks good. They're getting transfers on the defensive side of the ball. They're getting offensive transfers. I think they still need to add four more offensive linemen before
four?
I feel totally comfortable.
Four?
Yeah, four. No, I started off with five, and they added. Well, they've added two, right? Offensive lineman or just one?
We added Johnson from Eastern Michigan.
I think just one so far.
Shout out Marcellus. Yeah, just so four. Yes. points still stand. So. All right. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this podcast?
I don't know. We're going to talk about Missouri playing Trajan Jeffcoat next year. They now get to face and Trajan Jeffcoat.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to play Toski down the street from my house.
Memphis. Yeah. Or in St. Louis.
Not in Memphis, Gage.
Right. But this is just this is how college sports are now, right? Like, you could have a guy on your team 1 year, and the next year you're like, oh, hey, he's on that team, and we play them. It's kind of weird, but like when it works for your team, the transfer portal is awesome. When it works against your team, the transfer portal is ruining college football. That is the rule. It's like, I at one time actually looked up a website, how to design a flow chart. And I'd made my own flow chart of how to decide whether a player should be punished for being arrested. And the first question was, does he play for my team? And if the answer was no, then he should automatically be arrested and punished and suspended. Yes. And if the answer was yes, then there was is he good at football or basketball? And if the answer to that was yes, no punishment. If the answer to that was no, full punishment again. That's how the portal is. If it helps you, it's amazing. If it's people leaving your team, it's the absolute worst thing about sports ever.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Speaking of arrest, the Georgia wide receiver that got arrested. So Lovett's snap count is going up because
AD Mitchell transferred as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we were all saying, oh, he's going to go to like wide receiver four. Yeah, he's moving his play on up thanks
everybody
to his
left. Well, I think, and to be fair, if we're talking about that flow chart, Rah-Rah Thomas, good at football. Maybe you figure out a way to make that work.
That's true. It'll be interesting playing some former Missouri players. I know Trajan Jeffcoat kind of had a saga after he decided not to come back to Mizzou. There were some other schools that were thrown out there, but he does land at Arkansas.
And he's not at Arkansas part about because it is, he hates Mizzou. He's not at Arkansas because he hates Mizzou. Like, I feel like that's like a thing Mizzou fans are like, why would you go there? Like, you're not going to beat Mizzou. He doesn't care if he's going to beat Mizzou while he's at Arkansas. Right. Like,
I mean,
that's
I think
not
he wants
why
to.
He wants to, but he wasn't. Yeah. I guarantee.
That wasn't the motivation.
That wasn't the motivation. He wasn't like, well, I got to go where I'm really going to stick it to Mizzou fans. Like, that's not why he went to Arkansas.
KJ Jefferson's still on that team.
It might be a part of why Barry Odom went to Arkansas. But I don't think it's why Trajan went to Arkansas.
Poor Barry, because he struggled. He struggled at it.
But it's been pretty interesting, though. Like, you know, just seeing the reactions of Jeffcoat's teammates. I mean, I think it really shows you the separation between how the fans view this and how the, like all these guys that played with him are like, man, go be great. Awesome. Yeah. You're my guy. You know, they're still in, like when we talked to Kobe about Trevon Brazil a couple weeks ago and they still talk all the time. It's just, that's the separation. They're rooting for these kids and their friends more than anything. But the whole thing makes it like, it's weird to be a sports fan, right? A college sports fan. I think like guys like Kobe are so rare now. And I think it's why the fans have embraced him even a little bit more this year, because they saw him when he was an 18-year-old kid that was, you know, the fourth guy off the bench. And now they see him as a National Player of the Year, you know, nominee. And you really just don't see much of that anymore, because either the guys are, they're good enough that they're going pro, or they're not good enough and they're going somewhere else, or they're good and they're going somewhere else. But the days of, I remember this kid when he came from high school and then I watched him for 4 years and now I see this, are kind of gone. And like, I don't know if the portal's good, bad, or indifferent, but I do think that it takes some of the connection away from fans.
I think that's a conversation that's been going on. I saw at least one tweet on Twitter about Jalen Hurts specifically, right? Because someone tweeted, Alabama fans, do you claim Jalen Hurts? Oklahoma fans, do you, like, do they both get to claim Jalen Hurts? Where does Jalen Hurts claim that he went to school? It's kind of a, it's a situation like that where, you know, on his Sunday Night Football little headshot, what does he say? He said Jalen Hurts, Oklahoma, I think is what he says, because that's where he graduated and he last played football. So do they, does Oklahoma get to claim Jalen Hurts, even though he was at, see this one?
They do.
Making it too hard for us.
Well, I mean, but that's a tough one because, like, he literally won a national championship, maybe two, one place, and then won a Heisman the other place, yeah. Right? I mean, yeah. We're not talking about this guy that had, like, you know,
we're not talking about Trajan Jeff.
Nine sacks one place and four sacks another place for 2-7-6 teams.
Right. Yeah, they both claim them. I don't even care. They both can if they want to. The one thing that was wild to me was people saying the Big 12 is clearly a better football conference because three of the quarterbacks in the championship games are Big 12 quarterbacks as opposed to SEC. So then my argument was, well, Jalen Hurts won a natty at Alabama, so yeah. Him and Joe Burrow should still be considered SEC a little bit, but.
Also, two of the quarterbacks in the conference championship game transferred.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But one of them transferred after he won a natty, and one of them transferred when he hadn't been playing. So
when they had Justin Fields, yes.
Yeah, when they had Justin Fields. So they're a little bit different scenarios, but still, yes, they are both transfer quarterbacks.
My whole point was that in 3 years, Jake Garcia is quarterbacking a team in the NFL. Conference championship games, obviously, right?
Yeah.
But did he win us a natty? Did he win us a natty?
Maybe just a Heisman. We'll see.
Okay. Jake Garcia for Heisman. You heard it here first. Make the signs. Get ready for College Game Day to come. And let's see. When's the first big game? Get ready for Memphis. That'll be College Game Day in St. Louis. Wouldn't that be
outside
something?
Outside the Ed Jones the Dome America, or whatever America, it's called these days.
America Center.
The Dome at it's America Center.
Yeah.
I wish they still played the high school state championship. I know they played in Columbia now. Or do they go back and forth between Columbia and Springfield? They did that for a little bit.
I think they did.
I think you might right. Yeah.
But I always like saying, we're going to the Dome. Well, obviously in high school, I never got to the Dome. But like saying that is like, yeah, we're going to the Dome. The road to the Dome. It's a lot cooler than the road to Columbia.
I covered Justin Smith winning a state championship in the Dome. Mm. He was a good player.
We used to go every year, right around Thanksgiving or sometime around there, since my dad was a high school football coach. Yep. I mean, that's where we spent all of those weekends, those long weekends in in St. Louis. So now yeah, I live no. here. Yeah, right down the street from the Dome is where I live.
The XFL team is going to be there, right? Yeah, Battlehawks are playing there.
Kaka, blah.
Good deal.
Hey, a lot of KC people told me like that the Battlehawks are their XFL team. So let's go.
Dave Steckel. Dave Steckel. Linebackers coach.
Really?
Yeah.
AJ McCarron was our drafted quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. All right, that's enough. That's enough from us. You've heard enough of us. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Mizzou. That's it. We'll be back next week. I'll be in Las Vegas when we're doing the podcast. So, yeah, pretty good setting for me. I'm not gonna lie. So, we'll be back talking about Mizzou basketball. I'm sure. Again, I say this at the end of every episode. I'm sure Mizzou football will make a headline where we have to talk about Mizzou football still, because college football is – football in general is king in the United States of America. So I'm sure they will stay relevant in the news cycle. So until then, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current. Plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.